Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Trading Game The Know. One Sunday Times bestseller is a memoir by Gary Stevenson that combines personal history, trading floor, insider account, and economic critique. It follows his rise from a working-class background in East London to Citibank, where he became one of the bank's most profitable traders during the era of low interest rates and post-crisis economic strain. The book is not a technical finance manual. Instead, it uses Stevenson's career to show how modern markets reward asymmetry, pressure, and the ability to profit from wider economic weakness. It also traces his growing disillusionment with trading culture and his later turn toward public commentary on inequality. The result is a memoir that is both autobiographical and political, offering readers a vivid picture of how financial incentives, institutional behavior, and social inequality intersect in contemporary capitalism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from East London to the London School of Economics and Citibank. A major strength of the book is the clarity with which it frames Stevenson's class background as central to his worldview. He begins in working-class East London, where money is scarce and the distance between ordinary life and Canary Wharf is visible but intimidating. That background matters because it shapes both his ambition and his outsider status once he enters elite spaces such as the London School of Economics and then Citibank. The memoir uses this contrast to show how finance can appear as an escape route, especially for someone who is mathematically gifted but socially out of place. Stevenson's early career is therefore not just a success story. It is a study in social mobility that quickly reveals its limits. He enters institutions that promise meritocracy, yet the book suggests that class codes, access, and confidence still structure who belongs and who thrives. Secondly, how the trading game works as a model of market behavior. The trading competition that gives the book its title is more than a biographical anecdote. Stevenson uses it as a simplified model of how traders think, act, and exploit predictable behavior. In the game, the key insight is not abstract theory but pattern recognition. If other players are rational in standard ways, they can be exploited through pricing and timing. That idea becomes a bridge into real markets, where traders do not merely discover value but actively shape prices through two-way markets, price making, and price taking. The book also touches on practices such as front-running, showing how advantage in finance often comes from information flow and speed rather than productive investment. By explaining markets through an accessible game, Stevenson makes a broader claim trading is frequently about extracting small advantages from structural imbalance, not creating new wealth. This framework helps readers see why the book treats finance as a competitive system of strategic extraction. Thirdly, a trading floor culture built on pressure, status, and dependency. The memoir gives a detailed sense of the emotional and social environment inside Citibank. Stevenson presents the trading desk as a place defined by intense pressure, long hours, and constant status competition, where elite background, charisma, and toughness matter alongside technical skill. The characters around him are not generic bankers, but a recognizable ecosystem of rivalries, rituals, and informal hierarchies. That culture makes success addictive and exit difficult, because it binds identity to performance and money. One of the book's recurring points is that finance is not simply a job, but a total environment that reshapes behavior and expectation. Stevenson's rise depends on proving himself within that environment, while his eventual alienation comes from seeing how corrosive it is. The result is a portrait of institutional life in which profit, belonging, and self-worth are tightly linked, making the desk both a source of opportunity and a trap. Fourthly, low interest rates, inequality, and the politics of extracting wealth. The book's clearest economic argument is that the financial system rewards bets on stagnation and inequality. Stevenson repeatedly links his trading success to a wider environment in which interest rates remain low and economic recovery is weak, allowing traders to profit from conditions that are bad for ordinary households. He frames this as a redistribution mechanism, rather than a wealth creating one gains in trading often depend on someone else losing or on broader social decline. This is why the memoir becomes more than a personal confession. It turns into a critique of the post-2008 economy, in which asset holders and market participants are insulated while wage earners face pressure. Stevenson does not write as a detached academic, but his argument is shaped by direct exposure to how markets respond to policy and inequality. The book therefore stands out for connecting everyday financial mechanics to macroeconomic distribution, making inequality feel operational rather than abstract. Lastly, disillusionment, burnout, and the difficulty of leaving finance. The final movement of the book is about the psychological cost of remaining inside a system that rewards conduct the author increasingly rejects. Stevenson describes trading as exhilarating at first, and then progressively damaging, with stress, exhaustion, and moral discomfort accumulating over time. This gives the memoir a more ambivalent shape than a simple rise and fall story. His problem is not only that he succeeds, but that success pulls him deeper into a world he comes to view as harmful and inescapable. The book emphasizes how hard it is to leave finance once bonuses, identity, and institutional dependence are in place. That makes the memoir particularly effective as a warning to readers who may imagine trading as glamorous or purely rational. Rather than presenting exit as a clean moral victory, Stevenson shows it as messy, delayed, and psychologically costly. This closing perspective gives the book its broader resonance. The system is not only unequal, but also designed to keep its participants attached to it. In conclusion, The Trading Game will be most valuable to readers interested in memoirs about finance, social mobility, and the moral logic of modern capitalism. It is especially relevant for people who want an insider account of trading that is more grounded in lived experience than in technical explanation. Readers interested in inequality will also find it useful because Stevenson does not treat markets as an abstract arena. He shows how interest rates, incentives, and institutional practices shape who gains and who loses. What makes the book stand out in the finance memoir category is its combination of personal narrative and political argument. It is less polished as self-revelation than some comparable books, but that roughness is part of its appeal. Stevenson writes from inside the system he criticizes, which gives the book a sense of immediacy and tension that many outsider analyses lack. For readers seeking both a readable trading floor memoir and a forceful critique of financial capitalism, it offers a distinctive and memorable perspective. If you would like to support Gary Stevenson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.